And I'm Greg Lambert.
As you could tell from the opening music, this is one of our regular shows where we look into the industry and find innovative people to bring on and discuss what they're doing in advancing the legal profession.
Yeah, well, we're really excited to welcome Jeroen Tierens, strategic account advisor, and Jorn Vanizacker, co-founder from Henchman. Jeroen and Jorn, welcome to the Geek & Review.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So Jorn, before we jump into some of the really great things that you're doing and the growth of Henchman in the past couple of years, could we get you to give us a brief overview of Henchman and why you founded it?
Yeah, of course, Marlene. So hey, I'm Jorn. I'm one of the three co-founders at Henchman. Today, we're 40 very talented techies together building Henchman. We started in 2020. We're based out of Belgium, but we have more than 170 customers in more than 30 countries, of which the US is the biggest country that we serve at the moment. And it all started, I mean, Gilles and myself, we had a previous company which was building HR tech back in 2013, 2014. We were building a suite solution. We were building something for performance management reviews, for employee engagement measurement at the time. And I remember we had one competitor called Peakon, and they just did employee engagement in a very data-driven manner, very, very kind of vertical in terms of product strategy. We were really inspired by them. And they ended up selling to Workday for $800 million, something like that. We got acquired in 2019 for a very small fraction of that amount at the time. But Gilles and myself, we had a very clear idea of like, okay, if we want to do something next, what's our next project going to be? And it had to be something that solved a very clear problem, a must-have product, so to say, and with a very strong focus in terms of what we wanted to solve and for who we wanted to solve it. And so we went up into the direction of, okay, well, Gilles had to fill in a lot of RFPs, and he was very frustrated with the fact that, you know, you always get these long lists of questions, and he remembered that he had given very similar answers, like, let's say, 2 months ago. And so he thought of an idea of, like, let's create a technology that could recognize similar answers I'd given to similar questions from my database. And so we had lunch with the legal professionals that assisted us in the acquisition of the previous company. And they were like, guys, this is what we do on a daily basis, like looking for stuff we've done in the past. And so in that lunch meeting, we pivoted to the entire idea of Henchman to legal. And that's how we got into legal. And so what Henchman does, it is built for legal professionals today that draft and negotiate complex contracts, the transactional kinds. And the two challenges we solve for them are, first of all, when drafting these complex contracts, they tend to open up a lot of contract, a lot of folders, looking for that one clause they have in mind. And, you know, if they don't find that, they ask a colleague, have you ever done something like this? And then the second thing, and it's more of an opportunity really, is the fact that we, all these legal firms, all these organizations sit on a lot of contracts, a lot of data. And it's often very unstructured. And so with the right tech, you can really use that data as a lever for your, you know, legal colleagues, but also, of course, your clients. And that's really what we're obsessing about with Henchman, unlocking that collective knowledge. And I have to ask,
who's the harder industry to deal with, HR or legal?
It's a good question. I was a bit afraid in the beginning, to be honest, of you know, legal professionals and, you know, would they be mean and rude? But I have to say, I like them a lot more than HR professionals, because they're, I mean, especially the transactional kind of lawyers, that's the ones that we work with the most today. They're very constructive in nature, right? They're deal makers. And in that sense, it's been a real joy building Henchman together with them.
Yeah, I would much rather talk to a transactional lawyer than to the HR team. So, sorry, you were going to go on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think when we started off Henchman, I mean, we are product people, right? We're tech people. We're not legal people as founders. So we were forced to really understand the problem very well. And so we still do a lot of workshops on a monthly basis with our customers and prospects. But two things became very clear to us. during those conversations. So first of all, I mean, legal professionals are very, very busy people. And second, and I say this with the utmost respect, they're not too tech savvy. And so whatever you're building in legal, right, has to be something that works for them rather than something that has to be set up by them in order to get value out of it. And so that's really been our main objective when building Henchman. And so the way Henchman works for our customers is that, first of all, we connect to their document management systems. It can be iManage, NetDocument, SharePoint, it doesn't matter. And we will just plug and play. There's no setup required, no preparation or folder structuring required. And in the second phase, Henchman recognizes what are contracts and what are not. And then Henchman will isolate all the clauses and definitions from those contracts. It will mirror the permissions that are in place in the DMS. We will recognize the associated metadata to those contracts, and we will create metadata in the process. And all of those clauses, like per customer, we easily have a couple of million of clauses and definitions that we process. All of those millions of clauses and definitions are accessible within Microsoft Word or Outlook. And so, yeah, if you look at our customer base, I would say 20% of our revenue is in-house legal teams and 80% is law firms, with a very wide spread from, let's say, boutique firms to, MLaw 200 firms.
So I'm curious, in working with firms, are you hearing, what types of, reasons are they sort of needing the clauses surfaced? I mean, is it primarily like we need precedent because based on what we sort of have done before, are they looking, or are there sort of more, is there more sort of an analytic bent to it? Like saying, okay, what have we done in certain instances? And, what have we agreed to in certain cases where we maybe haven't and others, and why? Anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Maybe I can take that question, Jorn, talking to a lot of law firms. I think it's indeed definitely also the latter, Marleen. There's a lot of data in there indeed that is now not really accessible, or don't have a lot of insights in that. And indeed, Henchman surfaces that knowledge. And with all the metadata around that, it's very easy to get a better understanding of how we did similar things in the past that we can apply now. For example, in transactions, it's I always compare it a bit with the chess game. It's always nice if you know a bit what you can do a few steps ahead. It's the same. And if you indeed can leverage Henchman and have insights in how we've done similar things in the past, then can really help you in this current transaction as well. So we see this really resonates a lot with our customers and our prospects. So that's one thing. Actually, I see two main use cases. Well, there's one very major use case. This is all about the drafting, the transactions, what I just explained. But also, we see a lot of interest from people dealing with knowledge management in Henchman. Of course, we are originally a Belgian company. We focused on Europe first before crossing the pond to the US. And of course, in Europe, knowledge management is very established for a long time already, especially in UK firms, but also in the Nordics. I focused a lot on the Nordics in the past. And as Jorn also said earlier, we focus heavily on doing workshops with our customers. Just this week, our product team went to Stockholm in Sweden to have a product workshop just on knowledge management. And this gives some very nice insights in how we can further build our product as well. So also for knowledge managers or PSLs, Henchman is aiming to give a lot of insights, data that helps them in their job. For example, it can help them when they see that certain clauses are searched for a lot, they can prioritize their work to that kind of clauses. Whereas if certain contracts are rarely searched for, then you know as a knowledge management team, okay, this is not a type of work that our customers do a lot, our lawyers do a lot. So let's not put too much time on that. It really helps also in strategizing where to put your time and effort as a team. And to put it a bit more broadly, when talking to US law firms now, indeed, a big part of them indeed has a knowledge management team in place, but that's definitely not the case for all of them. Some of them haven't always focused on knowledge management, but I see this is really changing. A lot of the MLaw 200 firms we are talking to at Henchman really want to step up their game when it comes to knowledge management. And they're looking at two things in that regard, either hiring more CAM people, but definitely also looking at technology to further automate this. And they're often looking at a tool like Henchman to do this, because indeed, we give them a lot of insights, data-driven insights in their current knowledge, to really stimulate that knowledge work. And with the insights they gather from Henchman, they can also make sure that certain knowledge get boosted in the search of Henchman, that lawyers see this first. So yeah, we really see that there's a lot of interest also from a KM perspective in Henchman when it comes to that. Yeah,
let me pick up on the technology, because and we'll get back to the Europe versus US a little later. A lot of US KM teams look at KM as a technology, whereas it's more of a personnel kind of a process in Europe. I want to focus in on the US centric, and that's the leveraging the technology to help with the knowledge management. And I know you guys are using Microsoft Copilot to help with the drafting experience for the legal professionals that are using the product. And specifically, you are looking at the firm's document management system or the corporation's document management system, if they're lucky enough to have one. And so for us KM folks, this is kind of the holy grail, that we know there's a lot of data inside our DMS that we would like to leverage to improve our KM process. So how are you guys using Copilot to help with that?
Yeah, sure. So indeed, I would situate Copilot more in the first use case I explained, where legal professionals, lawyers, practicing lawyers are using Copilot. The reason why we start building that integration we currently have with Copilot is actually because, in those conversations I, for example, have with MLaw 100 firms, the big majority of them, if I may say so, is experimenting with Copilot. And what I hear there quite often is that it's a great productivity tool. It really helps in both Outlook, drafting emails, or in Word, Excel. It's great for general productivity. And that's, of course, always the goal of Microsoft. They always want to stimulate general productivity. But when it comes to the more deep legal work, if I may say so, such as drafting contracts, it's not there yet, the Copilot. What I hear quite often is indeed when you give a prompt, for example, give me 10 liability clauses written in an SPA by this specific colleague in the last year, then Copilot would give you some kind of answer based on your data, but it's not always accurate. For example, if you then open these sources, those contracts, sometimes there is not even a correct liability clause in there, the one you wanted. So it's not working that well when it comes to that. And what is Henchman really good at, and what Jorn also already briefly touched upon earlier, we're good at indexing those clause definitions coming from the document management system. We structure them in a very good way in our software, together with all the relevant metadata attached to that. And that really helps Copilot, because the integration as we build it right now is that when people make a prompt in Copilot, indeed, like give me 10 liability clauses written in an SPA by Marlene, for example, in the last year, then Copilot would make an API call to Henchman, and Henchman would return results to the user through Copilot. And then, of course, you have way more accurate results than when it's just Copilot that you're using. Again, because we have so much metadata attached to those clauses that are structured very well. So we see that this resonates very well in the last weeks. And we also hosted a webinar on this together with our partners, iManage and Microsoft. And Jorn, that was crazy, right? We did it in the Microsoft HQ here in Brussels. And I think, what was it? 1,800 people subscribed for it. It was,
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest for the Copilot integration, for sure.
Just to follow up quickly on that, why Copilot and why not one of the other platforms?
I think Microsoft is everywhere in legal. I've never encountered any law firm, for example, that is using the Google workspace instead of Microsoft. And Copilot is basically a new kind of interface in Microsoft. Besides Word, Outlook, you now also have Copilot. So henchman wants to be where the lawyer is, and that is Microsoft, that's Copilot. Yeah.
And I think, I mean, the majority of our customers and prospects are experimenting with Copilot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. Are you guys experimenting with this, or are you not able to disclose this on a podcast?
We're experimenting with everything.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not we're actually implementing something, that's a different story.
I'm curious though, with Copilot, I mean, are you getting any feedback from firms about security concerns and sort of Microsoft's ability, you know, perhaps to sort of see content prompts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a good question. When it comes to the Copilot itself, there actually Microsoft has switched off that abuse monitoring, I think. So there is no security issue when it comes to that, or confidentiality issue. And of course, that integration with Henchman, yeah, there we have all the security measures we have in place as a vendor. We are ISO certified and SOC 2 Type 2 compliant, and we're constantly monitoring our security. So when it comes to Copilot specifically, we don't see any security or confidentiality issue.
So Henchman, originally a European company, got a lot of traction with clients in Europe before, as you said, crossing the pond to the US with, you know, clients like, you know, Goodwin or Lowenstein. How does the European perspective affect US clients? And also, we're talking about like US clients, but also I imagine a lot of these clients have internationally, I mean, they have offices outside of the US. And, you know, is there a difference, I guess, in terms of approach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that ties a bit back to the knowledge management perspective, indeed, that in Europe, we've gathered a lot of insights on how to build technology that assists in knowledge management. So we've built those insights in our product, and we see that a lot of US firms are very interested in that. But also, I think our European perspective is a fact that is also reflected in the fact that Henchman is a language agnostic system. Just our home country, Belgium, there are already three languages just in our own country. So for us, it was really important from day one to build a product that works, not just in English, but also all the other European languages that are out there. So you also mentioned Goodwin, for example, Marlene. Their Paris office, for example, is also using Henchman because, yeah, it works perfectly in French as well. So I think that's something unique about Henchman, the fact that it doesn't only work in English, but also in a lot of other languages, and especially the large US firms that are active globally show a lot of interest in that specific part of Henchman as well. Yeah.
So I wanted to get back to the AI buzz, which you know, you can't have a podcast in 2024 without talking about
AI.
AI. Yeah, exactly. So how are you guys approaching this? What do you see or how do you see AI fitting in to your product? And I really want to kind of think about this because we've had this conversation now for the last 15, 16 months. And one of the things that I think a lot of people remember but tend to kind of deprioritize is, especially when you're dealing with contracts, you want very specific things in your contract. You don't want a lot of creativity, especially unmonitored creativity sneaking into the contracts. So where do you see AI fitting into Henchman to keep, you know, the solid thing solid, but the where it would be at the most advantage to take
how do we keep things absolutely precise?
And I think legal world has had, you know, two quite powerful waves, I have to say. You know, you had COVID, everyone had to go into the cloud. That was definitely something that, you know, shook the foundations of a lot of firms. And then you had Gen AI, ChatGPT arriving. And of course, it's something that we and our clients experimented with a lot at the time. There was a lot of uncertainty of what is this going to do? A lot of confusion. What will it be able to? I mean, people thought it was going to change everything, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, now we realize, now that the dust has settled, what the potential and the limitations are of generative AI and similar technologies. And I mean, we see a lot of, I mean, in a year from now, we'll look back and we'll see a lot more legal tech startups emerging that have, you know, built something around, like, you know, wrappers around tools, large language models such as GPT. And if we look at the use case that we serve, the transactional contracting and negotiation, as you mentioned, Greg, it has to be what it has to be, right? It has to be correct. And so the way we kind of, you know, walk people through it is, like, let's say that you make a prompt and you ask it to write a liability clause, right? Then it will generate something. Of course, it's not going to be sufficient. But then some firms are like, but what if we connect it to our database? Then it would, you know, apply our tone of voice within that prompt. And they're probably right, right? And so you get a result that sounds a bit like the firm. It feels like the firm. But within the transactional work, you will always be left insecure of whether you are comfortable using that in this situation, because is this something that my senior partner that I'm writing this for would approve? Is this something that we typically use within this type of contract? And so in that sense, you miss context. You miss context in order to make very confident decisions in your work. And so you need that element of contextuality, which Henchman is really good at, in terms of finding, retrieving that from your DMS, attaching the metadata, and kind of funneling that to you when and where you need it. And that's really how we see our unique position. I mean, it really helped us. It was a true blessing for us, because we now look at large language models in general as a tool to serve use cases much better and much faster. But it's not the core of our product, so to say. And so we look at use cases all the time, and then we compare different LLMs. We have a multi-LLM philosophy, so to say. We compare different LLMs to different use cases that we look to solve for our customers. It could be, you know, pluralizing clauses for them, or how can you semantically compare clauses to one another in, let's say, like a matrix view, right? It's very good at structuring text, so that's what we like to use it for. And so in that sense, we build use cases, we build out desired outcomes, and then we measure LLM results against one another, also taking into account certain specifications such as, you know, risk of hallucination, costs could definitely be one as well, speed as well. And those things we constantly take into account. And so I think if you look at Gen AI, if you look at co-pilots in general, they're actually quite reactive in nature, right? You ask it something and it gives you something. It's often connected to a data set, which it's conscious of, but it's not factual, right? So it's very good at providing you with the next best words, so to say.
Yeah.
Whereas at Henchman, we're all about going beyond that. We're not building a co-pilot. We are building the chief of staff for each legal professional. And a chief of staff is someone who's very data-driven, very strategic, and he or she will approach you when he or she thinks it's necessary. So very proactive in nature. And so for us, a chief of staff is all about providing you with the next best options rather than providing you with the next best words. And that's what we're all about. And that's how we, you know, use Gen AI and large language models to kind of contribute to that mission.
So this is the part in the podcast where we ask our guests our crystal ball question. Jorn and Jeroen, what do you see as a change or challenge that you'll need to address at Henchman or the industry as a whole over the next 2 to 5 years?
Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to the industry as a whole, I'll throw a word, Gen AI.
what's the biggest challenges for Gen? There's so many, but if you had to pick one or two, what would those be?
Yeah, I can definitely think of something.
We could have an entire podcast on that topic.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. Something more specific I thought about when it comes to Gen AI is the fact that certain Gen AI products require a lot of new skills from lawyers. I'm not talking about henchmen, but there's a lot of Gen AI tools where you need a lot of prompting. That's very interesting, of course, but there's a whole new skill set needed for that the big majority of people don't have today. So I think a lot of new skills are needed there, and especially change management when it comes to that. I think people really have to change the way they work and learn to do prompting. And I think that will be quite a challenge in the coming years. So that's a specific thing when it comes to Gen AI in law that will be an interesting challenge, I think, in the coming years. Yeah.
Yeah. Jorn, how about you?
Well, I think I'm a big believer of knowledge, the concept of knowledge in legal. And it has increased significantly in the last year. And I feel like, you know, all the big law firms, all the leading law firms realize that as well. Like, it's their competitive advantage against other law firms. It's their competitive advantage of getting their people as performant and ramped and quickly ramped as possible. And it's instilling like a sharing mindset within those organizations, which is obviously it's a cultural thing, right? You know, it's a people thing. It's a people, person-to-person thing. But that can be a real enabler to instill a sharing mindset within those organizations. And I think the law firms that are focusing on that and, you know, striving to be successful at instilling a sharing mindset, they will remain to be very successful. And I think knowledge is a very important ingredient in achieving that.
I saw Marlene's jumped off and back on, and I think the wrong equipment's on. So I get to wrap this thing up. sorry about the technical difficulties at the end there, but Jeroen Terens, strategic account advisor, and Jorn Vanizaker, co-founder at Henchman. I want to thank both of you so much for coming on and talking with us at the Geek & Review.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. And then here I am as Marlene. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening to the Geek & Review podcast. If you enjoy the show, please share it with a colleague. We'd love to hear from you. So reach out to us. We can be found on social media. Marlene is on LinkedIn and on X at GayBauerM and on Threads at MGayBauer66. And I can be reached on LinkedIn or on X at Glambert. Jeroen and Jorn, where's the best place for people to reach out if they want to learn more?
Yeah, definitely LinkedIn as well. My name, Jeroen Terens. I am very active on LinkedIn. Also, Henchman as a company is very active on LinkedIn. You should definitely check out Steve Litt. He's the best guy. He's our main character on LinkedIn. You should definitely check him out. You can find him on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, I've watched a few of those videos. Those are great. So if the audience hasn't seen the videos, go check those out. That's worth the price of admission right there.
Thank you so much for having us, guys.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Marlene.